Praise the Lord for those great truths. It is good to be seen by you today, and hope you're doing well. When I look outside right now, it's close to 60 degrees, and the sun is out. So we are thankful for that. I want to give you a quick update on Mrs. Johnson. Mrs. Johnson is going ahead of schedule, and she should be, we're not quite sure when she's coming out of the hospital, but she certainly is progressing faster than they expected. Her speech is coming back well, so just keep praying for her. Also, we heard from the Sutcliffes this week, and they're doing well up in the mountains in the Adirondacks. So just keep praying for the Sutcliffes. All right, we have some things that we're looking to maybe do in the near future, and we're excited about that. I do invite you to watch some of those church update videos. I'm going to try and put those out more so we don't kind of bog down our preaching services with a lot of announcements. But there are some things I do want to go over, some time-sensitive and date things. And so if you could check into those, make sure you watch those videos. Those will be informative, answer a lot of questions. I want you to go to two places today, Hebrews chapter 11 and then Exodus chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and then Exodus chapter number 1. I put bookmarks there to go back and forth. My son Hudson made this for me. This is a fireplace, I believe. Snow globe on top with some books. Two chairs, one for him and one for me. So keeping that as a bookmark, there we are. All right, hopefully you have found Hebrews chapter 11. And again, appreciate all those that make our Saturday morning, Sunday morning service work, those that sing and the technical side of it, and a lot going on, even in the room behind the scenes that you don't see. So we are thankful for that. All right, let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for another opportunity to open up your word. And Lord, as we approach it, God, although we may be distant, the power of the Holy Spirit of God is not bound by walls or distance. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts. And God, speak to us, convict us, lead us, guide us. Lord, I pray that this message would not only be an encouragement, but a challenge to our hearts. Lord, we need to hear from you today. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd really just get me out of the way, and Lord, help me to just reiterate the things that you've laid on my heart to share with our church family. Lord, thank you again for them. Thank you for their faithfulness. Lord, bless the service now. In Jesus' name, amen. We know Hebrews chapter 11, the context of which Hebrews is about. Hebrews chapter 11, well, the book of Hebrews is about that Jesus is better. And Hebrews chapter 11 takes the direct view into the thought of faith. And so there's two aspects of faith. Number one, saving faith, but then daily faith. After I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save me from my sins, there is a response of faith. James talks about it. Faith without works is dead. Hey, what good is your faith if it doesn't change you, if it doesn't do anything? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 is a testimony of those that have been led and acted in faith in their life. So many times throughout Hebrews chapter 11, we see the words, by faith. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. Well, we're going to get down to verse 23. We're going to be focusing in on Moses again. Moses. And in verse 23, we're going to read verses 23 through 29, and then we'll pull some thoughts out of here. Just a few thoughts for today, but very applicable. Very applicable. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23 says this, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect under the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. See all these things. Moses, by faith. I think it's very applicable and helpful to us as we are called as Christians to live by faith. I think Moses is an excellent example to us. But I do want to remind us, what is faith? The difficulty of faith is putting your faith or putting your trust or your commitment into something that you can't even see. By faith, Moses did a bunch of things that, see, we have the end of the story. We can go to Exodus, and we'll refer back to Exodus, and we can see some of those things of, hey, sure, it worked out good for Moses. But can I encourage you here today? It'll work out good for you when you take your steps of faith. I love the illustration or the thought of the faith of Noah. See, we look at Noah and, wow, he did great things, built an ark. But that was what God had for Noah. He's not asking us to build arks. He's asking us to take individual steps of faith. And so it is with Moses. When I look at Moses' life, I am encouraged in areas of my life. Not that I would take my son and send him down the river in a little made boat. No. That was what Moses' parents were to do. Not that I would go out to our church pond with the staff and stomp on the side and pray that it would part. No, that was Moses' job. But God has a step of faith for you and I. God desires that we too would by faith. And then let's substitute our name in there. By faith, you. What is it that God is asking you to do? What is it that God is calling upon your life to do? And here we find ourselves called to live by faith. Definition of faith is belief or understanding in the truth of what God has revealed. Belief or understanding to the truth of what God has revealed. God has told us some things of how it all works. And whether we agree with it or not, it is the rules by which we govern ourselves. I was just talking to someone just on the phone maybe about an hour ago. We live by God's laws. God does not live by mine. And that's faith. Faith, putting our trust or belief, or even to the point of, I don't fully understand, but I trust you, God, to what you have said. That's what faith is. Say, what good is that? It is able to conquer. Faith is conquering. Conquering what? Well, here, we're going to see the world. Number one, we're going to start off with the faith of his parents. Long before Moses stood on the side of the Red Sea, long before he walked into Pharaoh's house, long before any of that, long before he raised up and killed the Egyptian, long before that, when he was but born, there were two people in his house, his father and his mother, and by faith, he was saved. Now we know that Moses also has a brother and a sister. So this is not their only occurrence with this. In verse 23, it says this, in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. I'm not sure if you're aware, but it is somewhat difficult to hide certain things. Now, a coin would be easy to hide. Why? Because it's small. A piece of paper is easy to hide. But a child? How about a baby? We've gotten the opportunity to see Jackson a little bit. And sometimes when he doesn't like how things are going, he lets it known. Say, how do babies let known? Do they fill out a request form? No, they cry. Oh, God had to have his hand in that to try and hide a baby, a child. 3 months. Go to Exodus chapter 1, we'll see more about this. Don't lose Hebrews chapter 13. If you would like a bookmark, just let Hudson know. Are these available, Hud? All right, good. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 16. This is the account of what we just read. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 16. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife, Pharaoh's talking to the midwives, to the Hebrew women, and ye see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Well, the Bible says in verse 17, but the midwives feared God. See, there was a time when what the government was saying was anti-God. So when it comes between God and man, who do we obey? Well, we obey God. See, that might not work out so well. They might have been killed. Yes, but we don't violate God's law, God's plan, God's way. In verse 22, it says this of this same chapter, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, he shall cast into the river, and every daughter he shall save alive. But if we look at verse 21, we're reminded again, and it came to pass because the midwives feared God. So, all of a sudden, we're in the midst of a cross-culture. What God says versus what Pharaoh says. So, what do we do? Well, look at where look where Moses started. You would look at it and go, man, that must have been tough times. That would be difficult circumstances to live in. I'm so glad I don't have to live in such circumstances. Do you understand that it is the very beginning of Moses' life to which it is ascribed by faith? Say, oh, these are difficult times. May these difficult times be described in our life by faith. By faith, they did this. By faith, they did that. Not to cause trouble, not that they're just looking to prove a point, but they were to obey God rather than men. And by faith, they did just that. In the midst of the oppression, they still did what was right. To say that Moses had humble beginnings would be an understatement, but what he started off as in his house from the very beginning, the very foundation, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that it was by faith. His parents. Mom and Dad, we cannot undervalue the importance of living by faith. Why? Because it will have not only a dramatic impact in our lives, but in the next generation to come. We start in Hebrews chapter 11, not talking about Moses, but about his parents. The first instance of Moses' life says at age three months, his parents act in faith. When this time expires, will our children look back and speak of the time of when our parents acted in faith? Again, not looking to just prove a point, but to prove God. The faith of Moses started with the faith of his parents, and because of that, it put him in an opportunity. An opportunity. In Hebrews chapter 11, go back there, and verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now, as I read that, my theological mind, although quite limited, I run into some conflict. We'll start off in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I love this. A lot of times when we when people look at or critique Moses and Pharaoh, there's a difficult line of where God's sovereignty is and man's free will. And I like some of these words here. In verse 25, it says that Moses chose. See, your life of faith has a choice. You have a choice to live by faith. The question is, will we do that? At age, or in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When he got to the point of age, maybe a young adult age, maybe past the time of mandatory education, now you can choose the path for your life. You know what Moses did? Moses said, I refuse to be called a child of this world. Say, world? No, it said Pharaoh. Please jump back down to verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Do you see there? What a, not a strange verse, but an insightful verse, because it's making practical application to you and I right here, right now. Christ was not born yet in Moses' life. So the point here is not only to talk about what Moses did, but to also bring to personal application and challenge in our life who are we going to serve? What are we going to do? This is talking of Christ here. And what do we see? Moses refused the identity of Egypt. It came to a time in his life as a young adult, whatever that age is, maybe mid-30s, where he said, this is not who I am. I ought to serve the Lord. We see a lot of young people these days struggling with identity. I feel like it is a spiritual issue. Moses was torn. Why? Because the world was pulling one way, in his heart and in his faith, he knew he was getting pulled the other way. And he had to make a decision. He couldn't just keep living in limbo. He had to make a decision. Am I going to follow that which I know is right and true? Go back to Exodus chapter 2. In verse 10, it says this, and the child grew, and she brought him into Pharaoh's daughters, that he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Look at verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, then he went out into his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So let's, for a second, think about what Moses is looking at. Let's describe Moses in his outfit. The finest of linens. Maybe even some sort of subtle crown being raised in Pharaoh's daughter's house. Some sort of royalty. Maybe the finest of linens, the finest of education. And as he stands and takes inventory of what's happening around him, what does he see? He sees his people being oppressed. And you know what he says? I would like to exchange my position. Are you kidding? You're eating the finest of delicacies. You live in the finest of homes. Warm baths, cool water, fine clothes, no cares in this life, the finest of education. And you're looking at the ones that are being beaten and forced into work and slavery, and he says, that's where I belong. See, Moses refused what Egypt had to offer. He was an heir to the throne of Egypt, possibly one day to be the Pharaoh. Imagine in his heart, though, the guilt to turn his back on such kindness. As he looks back, and I'm sure he had a love and care for the person that has raised him. I'm sure he wardened his mind and in his heart, I've gotten such an opportunity to walk away from all that. What an example to the Christian, right? That we too Just because the world has made us an offer does not mean we need to take it. What a triumph in such a great trial. He says, I'd rather be the son of Abraham than the son of Pharaoh. I'd rather be a child of God than take that the best that this world has to offer. He refused the identity of Egypt. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, I'd like to draw your attention to verse 26. It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He says, I'd rather have a bad day following the God of heaven than a good day in the world. It's like saying to me, I'll take the worst that Christianity has to offer rather than the best that this world has to offer me. Sometimes Christianity is ugly. Sometimes people don't behave themselves in a way that's what God says. Honesty is, there are people just like you and I, and sometimes there's hypocrisy and things that don't go right. But can I tell you, I'd rather take the worst day following Christ than the best day that this world has to offer. Moses was able to overcome something that day by faith. If we look at verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith. By faith, Moses conquered worldly preferment. Worldly preferment. He was going to go somewhere in the world, but he said, I'd rather suffer with God's people than to take that the best that this world has to offer. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. The faith of Moses. First, we saw the faith of his parents. Secondly, we saw that he refused the identity of Egypt. Thirdly, he would rather be with the people of God than sin. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There's a great truth in this passage. The pleasures of sin are pleasurable. Listen now. For a season. That season does expire. I don't know what season we're in. We've got a lot of rain, so it's here we are in springtime. Today it's going to be in the mid-60s, to which us in Rochester feel like summer. We're going to see people in flip-flops and shorts and t-shirts just because the sun itself is out, and we don't get that often. But as we live through seasons, things change. And although the experiences and the pleasures of sin last for a bit of time, there is an expiration date on that. And when that expires, the consequences and the cost of sin is great. And for Moses to go against what God was leading him to do would be sin. And so it is in our life. If we choose not to walk by faith and not follow God in our life, do you understand that that is disobedience against God himself, and that's sin? And it's no different, verse 25, in our life than it was Moses. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Hey, it's better to suffer as a Christian than it is to experience the pleasures of sin. And Moses was an example to that. And God brings it out and reiterates that to us today. In Psalm chapter 84 and verse 10, it says this. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He says, I'd rather be a janitor for the Lord than it is to live in the pleasures of sin. And Moses, well, Moses did something that most people have a hard time doing. He acted rationally and righteously. He evaluated the situation and said, for me to live here is right. For me to go there is sin. I choose the right. He conquered worldly pleasure. The pleasures of sin are short. you have one of two options today. If you're living in sin, you have one of two options. Repent or experience ruin. Those are the two results. Because sin takes you away from God's way and His people. He says, I'll live with the people of God rather than the pleasures of sin. So you can't be in both. We should despise sin and choose suffering over sin. Suffering doesn't sound good. Pleasure sounds good. Understand, there's a season. And the Bible tells us in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." There's something waiting for us. Something that'll make it all worthwhile. Say, I can't see it. Which brings us back to by faith. By faith. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 says this, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth." Do you see the comparison? Do you see? Hey, if you can get through this, if you can say no to the pleasures, do you see what's waiting? There's something even more precious than gold that perisheth, though be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What do we pray? We pray that God would find us faithful when He returns. And He will return. So the question is, will we exchange the pleasures of sin for maybe even a reproach in suffering? Say, who in their right mind? Moses did. And more is said about Moses than almost anybody else in Hebrews chapter 11. Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction. What did he do? He conquered worldly pleasures. If you're struggling with sin, can I encourage you to walk by faith? To live by faith. Trust God for what He says. Say no to this world. And we'll look at the last thing that Moses does. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt. First, we saw the faith of his parents. Then we saw his refusal to identify with Egypt. Thirdly, he chose the people of God rather than to sin. And here now, he forsook the place of Egypt. It says this, by faith he forsook Egypt. He left Egypt. He chose faith over the fear of the king. Look at in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Does he know about the wrath of the king? Absolutely. He was raised in Pharaoh's daughter's house. He had inside information. He saw it firsthand. He watched it unfold right before him. A people that were at one point well-liked and well-appreciated in Egypt, transferred to the slaves of Egypt, overworked, beaten and ridiculed, mocked. He says, I'll take that. I would like to leave all of this. And he chose faith over, again, fearing the wrath of the king. Sometimes there's a fine line between faith and foolishness, and we pray for wisdom on what that is. And we look at Moses' life, and maybe even if you were to counsel Moses, Moses, listen, you're going to have such opportunity. God has placed you in Pharaoh's house, and only you could reach Pharaoh, but God was leading him to do something else. It is never good to hold hands with the world. For the Christian, may I encourage you, he forsook Egypt. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13, it says this, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not." You know what? Moses was such a powerful speaker. You know why? Because he did what he said. fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. He left it. He knew that God would lead him and guide him and take care of the whole thing. Expect the wrath of man, but you need not fear it. Was he surprised when the armies of Egypt followed behind close pursuit to destroy the nation of Israel? No. But we need not fear. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says this, in verse 27, Hebrews 11, 27, it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Seeing him who is invisible. So how can you see him? How could you see anything that's invisible? Two words. By faith. Verse 27 says, by faith. He saw the leading of God in his life, and he trusted it, and he followed it, and he got to see something most people don't get to see in their life. So God himself, well, kind of. He saw the evidence of God working in his life because he took a step of faith. To be able to see the invisible God, to serve the invisible God. By faith and only by faith can he be seen. But I can guarantee, as we walk by faith, as we live by faith, the assurance of his existence, the power of his presence, is more real than you can imagine. It enables the believer. It empowers the believer. Faith. So what did he conquer here? He conquered the worldly treasures. He left Egypt. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Moses forsook Egypt by faith. Moses was protected from the death of Pharaoh by faith. Moses conquered worldly pleasure by faith. He conquered worldly preferment by faith. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. More so than ever before, our faith is going to be necessary. It is going to be tried. It's going to be tested. And it's going to be proven in our lives. We are on unprecedented territory. What may be asked of Christians is to stand for religious rights. We've never had to experience that. In my lifetime, I have never been in a time where people said, you can't go to church. I've chosen not to go to church, sometimes by snowstorms or illness. So where's it going to come to? We'll see. Through faith. See, that kind of makes me nervous. Every time period of Christians have been proven their faith. This is our time. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The only way to defeat the world is through faith. So we pray. We pray and we seek God. And in our personal lives, can I encourage you this way? parents walk by faith, it'll greatly impact not only your life, but the generation to come. Number two, refuse to be identified with Egypt. Overcome that worldly preferment. Even if the world says, man, you got a way, you got a gift. Moses had to walk away from quite the gift. And chose to be with the people of God rather than sin. Understand that you can overcome worldly pleasure by faith only. In conquering the worldly treasures, he forsook Egypt. As individuals, but as a church, can I encourage you? As a church body, would you join me in prayer for wisdom and guidance as we exercise our faith? So I'm going to ask you here today, do you have conquering faith? Have you overcome worldly preferment? Have you overcome worldly pleasures? Have you overcome worldly treasures? The best that the world has to offer is but a shadow to what God has waiting for you. Can I encourage you to walk by faith? Moses changed his world because of two words. By faith. What does God have for you if we would simply live by faith? Heavenly Father, we sure do need you at this time. Lord, I pray that you would lead us and guide us, and Lord, that we would too also act in faith, trusting you. Standing on your promises. Lord, we long to see you move amongst us. And Lord, I pray that in these times that we would stand for what is right and for what is true. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to have the disdain and hatred for sin. And as the world tries to offer pleasures, that God, we would choose that we would choose you over all that. Lord, help us with these things. Lord, help us to be an encouragement to one another. God, work in our midst. Lord, we long to see you work in our midst. Lord, we love you and we are thankful for what you have blessed us with. We are thankful for your word. We're thankful for the ability to communicate with you through prayer. God, help us to be compassionate towards our community and towards the lost around us. God, we would reach out with the gospel. Lord, give us opportunities for that. Lord, thank you for our dear people. And Lord, you know their needs. And God, whatever they may be, Lord, I pray that you'd meet those needs in a mighty way. Lord, be our peace. Be our comfort. Lord, we love you again. And again, just thankful for all that you do for us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.